Well, thank you for joining me today for today's edition of COVID-19 Update, and I'm delighted to be in Hot Springs, Garland County, Arkansas. I'm joined by Dr. Jennifer Dillahay of the Department of Health, as well as Secretary Mike Preston, Secretary of Commerce. We came down earlier, and I had a wonderful trip through Tanner Sports here in Hot Springs that are making not only sporting equipment, but also making masks. And they make, of course, this beautiful mask showing Hot Springs, Arkansas. And Mike probably has one that shows Arkansas, the logo for the Arkansas Economic Development Commission. But it was good to see them and how they're producing, adapting in this time in a very safe way, and continuing to do business. I also want to thank everyone for the previous meeting that we had with some community leaders, from hospitals to the community college to the city and county governments and business, where we listened as to how Garland County is adapting in this new environment. We're very, very proud of you as to, and I see the mayor, thank you for participating in that conversation. That really shows how Hot Springs is doing business, but being safe at the same time. And I think some of the statistics that we show you shortly will demonstrate that. I wanted to start off by just sharing a letter. I get letters from time to time. And this is, "Dear Governor, my name is Colin Thaxton. I am 7 years old. I live in Carlisle, Arkansas. I watch you every day on TV. I like watching Mr. Eddie, too. I hope this virus will go away soon so I can go back to school this fall and see all of my friends. Have a good day, and I will keep watching. Love, Colin." And that really reflects really the desire of so many Arkansans. We understand what we're doing. We got to fight the virus. We've got to win. But let's get back to school. Let's get back to life, and that's the objective that we have. Let me go through our cases first. We'll go through our statewide cases, and then we'll come back and look at some in the central and in Garland County as well, central region in Garland County. And so our first slide tells us the number of cases. Yesterday we had 12,917 cases. Today we have an additional 274 cases that brings us to 13,191. In terms of hospitalizations, 8 additional hospitalizations across the state, bringing us to 214. In terms of deaths, an additional 6 deaths brings us to 188. We have, and so you can see, of course, again on the graph, the high water mark of over 700 in one 24-hour period, and now we're down to 274. But I said that we could be in the 400 a day range for the coming week. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll beat that. But you can see that today's numbers were better. In terms of testing, we did 4,175 tests across the state of Arkansas, which, again, it puts us in a position to make our goal of 120,000 tests for the month of June. We have totally, since March 11th, when we declared the state of emergency, we have conducted 208,000 tests. That means we've gone over the 200,000 mark, but in addition, that means that we have tested more than 6% of the population in Arkansas. Now, we want to continue to improve that every month, but that shows how we've significantly expanded our testing. And then if you go to the rolling average, which just goes to show you again the orange line that has us peaking at about 450, it looks like, and we're headed down on the average. We'll see where we go tomorrow. The next slide is the number of currently hospitalized, and we watch that carefully. We dipped down over the weekend right at 200. We're up just a little bit, and that's manageable for us as a state. We have to watch it by region as well. Talking to the hospital administrator here in Garland County, that by the way, you in Hot Springs are serving patients throughout the Southwest, including DeQueen, that's had sort of an uptick in cases, but it's a very manageable level, and they're doing all their routine procedures. And by the way, they've encouraged, they have the capacity, they're doing it. They're about back to 85% of what they were before, but people have put off health needs that need to be addressed, and the hospital is there to serve those needs. You go to the next one is a seven-day rolling average of cases, and now we're going to the central region. And if you have to put this in perspective, this is not 400 up here. This is about 68 cases at the high water mark, and you saw that it dipped down after April. This is the central region, and it's gradually climbed back up, but not to the height that it was. And here it's at a manageable level of about 45, and it's on a dip, on a downward trend for the last day. If you go to the next one, the seven-day rolling average of new cases in Arkansas by region, and so this is a very colorful chart, but the blue is the northwest, the blue is the northeast, and then the orange is the northwest, and that's the high one there that you see we have a challenge with. The southwest is the green. That's been fairly flat. You have the central, of course, that's where we are today. Garland County's in the central region. And that is the yellow. And you can see that it had a spike here in April. And then we've equaled that spike again. But it's flat. It's plateaued there for right now. If you go on to the next one, this is the number of hospitalized by region. That's a little bit too busy. But in terms of, let's just look at the central region, which is the yellow. And you can see that it did go up here to about 40, and that's where it is now. So it's stabilizing right at that level. And you think about 40 hospitalized for COVID across the central region is we have much greater capacity than that. This is the growth rate between June 7th to June 13th by county. And so this is just giving you a sample of the growth rate. Here we have Faulkner County growing at a rate of 34%, Garland County at 15%, Grant County at about 28%, Lonoke County at about 19%, Perry County, you can see low, Pulaski County is growing at about 17%, and then Saline County, a little bit higher level, about 24%. And so that shows progression, growth rate over a week. And here Garland County is doing pretty well. Again, I applaud you at a 15%, and we hope that that's a downward trend. If you go to the next slide, did you already go to? Oh, this is by age group. I'm sorry. So this is a growth rate of new cases by age group. And it shows, again, the highest growth rate is 0 to 17. Now, why is that good news? Well, it means we're testing more because they're probably asymptomatic. Secondly, it means that they're probably going to have a very quick recovery time because they're healthy. And so that helps us to identify the symptomatic, because they can carry it to someone else, and so that's helpful to be able to identify those. The next one's 18 to 24, then 25 to 44 is the growth rate at 15%, and so on. And so it's a 65 plus that you really have to worry about from a serious health consequence, and this is a little bit of a generalization, but that number is not as high as in the lower age groups. And then is there one more? This is something that ought to be encouraged. I hope everybody in Arkansas will pay attention to this. As you know, we set as a goal to test everyone in a nursing home facility along with the staff throughout the month of June. And we're I asked for, this is June 16th, and so I asked for, where are we halfway through the month? And so we've completed 13,000 tests so far. 13,000 tests of nursing home residents and staff. And we're on target to meet our goal. 13,000 tests so far, 113 positive. That is a 0.9% positivity rate. And that's an amazing statistic, and it tells you that we are protecting our most vulnerable citizens, and that we're hopefully will be in a position down the road that they can have visitors again. But we've got to have the right protocols in, and Dr. Delahaye will have something more to say about that. That is incredibly good news, and it also shows that whenever you protect people from outside influences that might bring the virus, it makes a difference. And behavior makes a difference. As of Saturday, 150 facilities are tested with 250 remaining. So we do have a ways to go and on track to complete testing this month. And then I think there's one final that I wanted to show you. Yes, this is Magic Springs, a concert at Magic Springs. And this, to me, demonstrates that there's family groups that are coming together and being together, but they're socially distanced, and there's ways that you can safely have an event like this. I want to applaud Hot Springs, Magic Springs, for demonstrating a very safe way to have a concert, a gathering, and it shows that life is coming together in a safe way. With that, let me ask Dr. Delahaye to come to make her comments. Dr. Delahaye.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Governor. So I wanted to spend some time today looking at some of the numbers for our age groups. So today we have a total of 13,191 cumulative total cases that we've had in Arkansas. And by age group, 1,357 have been in the 0 to 9 to 17 age group. So children, that's about 10% of our cases. For the 18 through 24 age group, we've had 1,469, and that is about 11%. Then for the 25 through 44 age group, 5,012, and that's about 38%. So we see a big jump up there. And these are the adults that are going around the in the community, taking care of their business. And they are the ones that potentially go to work and could bring the virus home if they do not take the necessary precautions in that age group. 45 through 64 is 3,840, and this is 29%. And then in the 65-plus age group, it's 1,512 with 11.5%. So what I wanted to compare that to, when we talk about the numbers of deaths that we've had in Arkansas, we've had 188 deaths, and we've had 134 people in the 65-plus age group. That's 70% of the deaths. The 19 through 64 age group is 54 in number, about 29% of the age of the deaths. So what we see here is we may have older adults who have a lower percentage of the cases, but they're at higher risk for dying from COVID-19. Many of these cases that have died from COVID-19 in Arkansas have been in long-term care facilities, and that's why it's very important for us to protect those who live in nursing homes, assisted living, and other types of facilities. So we're really pleased with the efforts that we've been able to make in Arkansas to test those facilities to make sure that COVID-19 is not circulating in an undetected way, and then to prepare the facilities to be able to open up to visitation. It has been a really great hardship for our older adults and their loved ones not to be able to see each other. But we want them to be able to visit and care for each other in a way that is going to be safe and not expose or introduce COVID-19 into a facility. And that also means that it's going to be really important for the age groups that have the COVID-19 to do the social distancing, because sometimes people don't know they have it when they spread it. So it's important for people to maintain the social distancing, to wear the cloth face coverings, and to wash their hands frequently. And if we're going to open up our nursing homes so that people can have that loving contact with their loved one who's in the nursing home, then it's going to be really important for us all to do our jobs in the community to reduce the spread of COVID-19 so it cannot enter the long-term care facilities. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Delahaye. And by the way, tomorrow we do hope to address that more specifically. I've been asked by a lot of people about when are we going to be able to go see our loved one in a long-term care facility. We want to be able to present a plan for the future and give you a timeline, because I know that's a great hope of many Arkansans. Secretary Mike Preston is here, Secretary of Commerce, and I want to give us an update on some of the unemployment numbers and that he sees.
Thank you, Governor and Dr. Delahaye. Appreciate it. It's good to be in Hot Springs today. Appreciate Vulcan and Tanner for letting us come out today and see what they're doing and how they've shifted to making these masks with the Arkansas logo. We really appreciate their work. And good to visit with some of the businesses here in Hot Springs and hear some update on the manufacturing side from Triumph and the work that's being done there. And then from Oaklawn and the tourism industry. And Steve, appreciate the work that you guys continue to do. But it was reassuring to hear some positive news that we're starting to see things bounce back a little bit in Garland County. And that's good. And hopefully we'll see that a little bit more throughout the state. And we are on a statewide level seeing a little bit of a leveling off on our unemployment numbers. We see the continued claims continue to drop down week over week over the last consecutively now for 4 weeks, dropping from a high of about 122,000 down to about 106,000 as of this last week of reporting. Additional, about 32,000 receiving the pandemic unemployment assistance to date. So those numbers around the state, certainly are still much higher than we've ever seen as a state. Collectively, see them moving in the right direction. And do want to talk today a little bit about the requirements that were waived back when this pandemic first started for unemployment insurance and filing. If you remember correctly, then back then we waived the governor waived three requirements related to the unemployment insurance: the week-long waiting period to get the benefits, filing in person, and then also the search for work requirement. At the end of this quarter, which will be the end of the month in June, we're going to be going back to the work requirement, the search for work requirement. So as we transition from a quarter, we wanted to make sure to give everyone a plenty of time heads up who will be filing claims the week of June 28th into July 4th, that starting that week again, when you do your weekly claim, you'll have to go in and actually certify that you are continually or actively looking for work. We'll be sending out some communications through the Department of Workforce Services with more specific information related to that. Again, this is going back to what we were doing before the pandemic started, so those who have filed before will be familiar with that process. You'll be able to do that online and go in and verify and certify that you were looking for work in that week. It'll go along with your weekly claim that you make for filing unemployment. If you do have a recall date with an employer, you will simply put that in there. We don't want to mess up any recall dates that you have with your current employer that is going on, so that would be the exemption to that. But wanted to get that information out. Again, we'll be sending out some mass communications from the Department of Workforce Services to those who would be impacted, that when you go in and make your weekly claim, will now have to begin that work search requirement. And again, this can all be done online, so it's not necessarily to say that you have to go out and do the physical interview, but if you are going out and online submitting the applications, doing a Zoom interview or a conference call, those would be something that you would need to note in your weekly claim as you file it for your continued unemployment. Governor, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Mike. With that, we'll be glad to take any questions. Yes, sir.
Hi, Governor.
Neil, good to see you.
Good to see you, sir. Thank you. I'm curious, this question really goes back to yesterday, and you didn't talk about positivity rates today, but as you've explained, you have to go back and revise the previous days based on when the test results come in. But there was a day yesterday that got to 10%, and you've consistently said 10% is a number that would really have you concerned. The numbers would suggest that they're higher than that in Northwest Arkansas. Does that give you some concern if you see continual 10% numbers, especially in Northwest, about peeling back part of Phase 2 up there?
Well, anytime you get over a 10% positivity rate, there you've got to look a little bit deeper. Obviously, it is a level of concern. But for example, you know, the Department of Health will go, you know, the Benton County Jail, for example, they had some positive symptomatic cases there. They went in and tested. Well, that's going to be a higher positivity rate, most likely. And so we understand that. Sometimes you'll have an outbreak in another congregate facility and you're going to have a high positivity rate. But in Benton and Washington County, the positivity rate has been way too high. And that shows that there is the community spread and that you've got to be very, very careful about it. And you've got to be disciplined in your social distancing, wearing masks, protecting yourself and others. Now, you asked the question, would we roll back from Phase 2? Whenever you're looking, we're restricting restaurants, venues to two-thirds of their capacity. Those are safe measures, and as we've said before, we don't have any data to indicate there's a correlation between lifting the restriction, going to Phase 2, versus the increase in cases. We'll continue to study the data and respond to it, but that's what we've found so far.
Follow up, the clarification on the question was really, would it just be maybe regionally because the numbers are so high up there?
Yes, you have to look at a targeted response to where we are in Arkansas right now. And what you're most likely going to see, there might be a venue that has a high level of positivity, and you want to go in and take some steps to and put some restrictions on to control that. So it could be in a targeted venue or targeted geographic area. Obviously, when you see this kind of low case number in central Arkansas, you don't want to roll back and put more restrictions there because it's working. So we'll continue to look at it in the terms of our targeted approach and looking at the data and trying to make sure we can make the right decisions to control it. Jake?
In terms of those two hot counties up in Northwest Arkansas, the coroner's office and what ADH is showing in terms of deaths are pretty wide discrepancy. And I was just kind of curious as to what does ADH consider a COVID death, or is there different definitions from
county? In what way is it different?
Benton County coroner is reporting 21. ADH only lists 8. Washington County, 18 and 12.
Dr. Dillahay, I'll give you, she's walking this direction, so maybe she's got an answer to that.
So in general, when we report deaths like we do here, those are reports given directly to the health department. But then we follow up. So the death certificate should correctly record that. And there's a gap between when we receive the death certificate and when the death is reported. Sometimes we don't get that call or the information that a death has been reported, and it comes up later on the death certificate. So it could be that the coroners are aware of the death before we are. I don't know about that specific situation in Northwest Arkansas, excuse me. But in general, there is a gap of time when we look at the death certificates and examine them to make sure that they are reported properly.
Which means if that discrepancy is correct and there's late data that comes in, then there's going to be some corrective raising of the deaths. And so if you saw a jump in one day, it could be some because of the catch-up of those statistics. Yes, sir.
Governor, you in the charts there, you mentioned how you're seeing the growth among young people. That's certainly shown right here in Garland County with their task force pointing out in the last couple of days just how many more cases have come in. It's not as dramatic as the Northwest, but it does come two and a half weeks after Memorial Day. It does come as travel has really started to rebound to resort areas. Does this give you any cause for what the rest of the summer might look like and what advisories you have to put out? And also, what's it going to look like when young people go back to school and college?
Well, the people of Arkansas respond to good information. And that's why we want to make sure that everybody knows that there's been a higher percent growth rate among the lower age groups, and that even though they feel great, they might be asymptomatic. If you get a test, you very well could be positive. And so this is a cautionary note to everyone that you don't know the young people there as to whether they're asymptomatic, but yet they're positive, and you need to protect yourself and protect them. For the young person, that demonstrates that you could be a carrier even though you're not symptomatic. And so I expect people to respond to information and education and make good decisions. I don't think you have to respond by hopefully more extreme measures. Obviously, we continue to watch that, and if we have to take some actions, we will. But I don't think we're to that point yet, and we'll continue to study that. Yes, ma'am.
Governor, it's our understanding that a notice went out to state employees on Friday that they needed to return to the office for work the following Monday. Why were they not given more time to make arrangements? And what message do you think it sends that they're being asked to return to the office? The lawmakers are saying it's too risky to hold a special session.
Well, I don't. In terms of the special session, there were many different factors as to why it was not good timing for a special session, and there's other ways to accomplish it. In terms of the state workers, the workers, they're working every day. They had a responsibility to the state whether they work remotely or whether they work in person. And I know that there is might be child care arrangements that have to be made, and so, you know, the individual secretaries and cabinet officials have some flexibility to address those issues. But they work Friday, they work Monday. And that's so I don't see any dramatic change there other than the location in which they do work. And so, we're delighted to have them back. I know in the governor's office they've all been working, and now they have an opportunity to work back at the state capitol. The secretaries do have discretion. If there's somebody that might be vulnerable in terms of health or they can be more effective remotely, they can make those judgments.
We're seeing a big jump in school-aged children. Does that kind of give you some concern, or is it still too early to really get to that point when it comes to schools reopening?
Well, actually, that goes back to the other question I didn't completely answer, but that's a very good question. And in terms of school next year, we cannot afford as a society to have limited commitment to education. And so we want our students to have the full experience of education in a healthy environment. We're trying to figure out the healthy environment. And that's why our Ready to Learn initiative, led by the Secretary of Education, relies upon the different school districts. Listen to parents and what are the concerns and how can we address this and what works in that community. And it'll be a blended environment of in-class instruction with supplemented by online instruction as needed. And so there's many challenges, but we want to have the testing capability. We want to be able to make sure our facilities are clean and that we have alternative ways of instruction, but you have to have that commitment. You have to have that plan to go back to school and adjust as needed. Let's go remotely and see if there's any question remotely.
Hey, Governor, it's Kendall at 4029 News. We've heard from our police leaders that when some people from the community are sick with coronavirus, they are not seeking treatment from doctors or hospitals because they don't have Medicaid. Is this a concern you've heard, and what help can the state provide to cover the cost for the Marshallese community being treated with or for coronavirus?
Well, that is a concern. In terms of the Marshallese population, the children are covered by Medicaid, and that change was made to make sure they were covered. But adults might have insurance through their employer, and many of them work in the poultry industry. But if they do not have that coverage, then there is a gap there. And that's why our social services, our organizations, the state wants to be able to cover that gap. And we want to make sure that that population that needs health care, they need treatment, have access to it. And I think if you go to the local Department of Health, then we can make sure there's arrangements to make sure they're properly treated, and the cost will be, we'll partner with them to make sure that that can be covered.
Are there any specific industries that are bouncing back better in Arkansas? And then I guess, too, and this is probably more for Mike here, do we have a breakdown of unemployment by region in the state?
Mike, do you want to take that?
Yeah, we can get you a breakdown by region. You know, we are looking at all industries as a whole. What we were seeing early on is that manufacturing was holding very strong. That's starting to see some numbers drop a little bit in that because of the supply chain that other states who are impacted, and we're not seeing some of the supplies moving as they were. So you're seeing some temporary furloughs in the manufacturing sector. Obviously, the hospitality industry is one that was probably hit more so than any other ones. We talked about that a little bit earlier with the community leaders here in Garland County and just what an impact that means there. But we're starting to see that bounce back now, certainly now that you have see the restaurants opening up and getting into phase two, more and more workers are coming back. So hospitality is certainly one, but you know, this pandemic has been across the board. So even something like a manufacturing that is somewhat insulated is now seeing the impacts. When you have the big three out of Detroit and the automobile industry shut down for a number of weeks, that impacts the supply chain. So like a Cooper Tire and Texarkana that then had to close their facility because they didn't have the OEMs to ship directly to. Now that we're seeing them open back up, we're starting to see some of those numbers get a little bit better and start to improve because those sectors are coming back.
Let's take one question remotely, then we'll come back and take one question here. Is there a question remotely? Let's come back here. Yes, Neil.
Governor, follow up to something you said earlier, and you say it every day about the importance of wearing masks, social distancing, yet when you're out and about, we see a lot of that doesn't happen as much as you'd like. And I know it calls for speculation, but why do you suppose it's so hard to get people to do that?
Oh, it's human nature. Nationally, I mean, there's some perhaps political taint to part of the discussions, but I think that's been diminished in Arkansas. So I just think it's a little bit of human nature. And, that's why we educate every day. Let's concentrate. Let's think about somebody else. You know, at first people thought, well, this is to protect me, so I don't need to wear a mask. I'm tough, or I'm not in the age group. Well, now I think everybody understands wearing a mask is a courtesy to everybody around you. And so that puts it in a totally different context. And so there's been some challenges there, but it's also about leadership, and that's where I appreciate, those restaurants that set the perfect example and give confidence and, and the barbers and salons that know how important this is to their customer base and the safety of everyone, they're going such an extra length to make sure they follow all those rules. And we as a public, let's support those that do the right thing. And if somebody's an outlier, they're not giving a high regard to the public health, let's send the right message, don't shop there. Let's go someplace that they really are setting the right example. So, you know, that's the consumer speaking, and that's what we've trusted. We've tried to avoid overly mandate and government action and restrictions, and so we want people to exercise their freedoms, their freedom of choice, and the common sense that God gave them. Thank you all very much today. Great to be in Hot Springs.